give to us what God's put on your heart for us today.
Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I love doing word studies, and we're going to do a word study through every word in Psalm 119, please. While you're turning there, we'd love for you, if you haven't had the opportunity to visit the Wilds, it'd be a joy to have you there. Stop by the table and get the brochures. It is a summer camp, obviously, and we're so thankful. This past summer in North Carolina, we had 11 weeks and 11,000 campers, and that's only by the grace of God. So thankful we can minister in that way, but we run camp year-round. Couples retreats. Ladies, isn't it time? Your husband takes you on that cruise for two in a canoe on the lake, yeah? And come to a couple's retreat, and just as Vance Havner said, come apart before you come apart, if you know what I mean. And just the joy of spending that time together. We have, of course, teen retreats and men's retreats, ladies' retreats, senior saints camps. I love them. They're a little bit hard to deal with. They don't listen to you at all, you know. They like steal each other's teeth and hide them, and they won't behave. But other than that, they're a great blessing. A couple of those weeks in the fall, a couple in the spring. And we want to be a blessing to you any way we possibly can. And it is a joy. Thank you for trusting us with your teens. And it is a joy. And I don't just say that, really. I mean that. It is a joy to be able to serve them. Thank you for your prayers for the Wilds in New England. And we are in a startup mode up there. And some of you remember years past, you stayed in a birdhouse in North Carolina. Well, we don't even have birdhouses. Our cabin's up there, about 100 years old. The main part of the camp was built in the 1700s. Of course, everything in New England is like really old, you know. And God worked a miracle for us to purchase the camp already zoned and grandfathered in for permitting and all that. Had 5 weeks, and next summer we'll have 7 weeks, and looking forward to ministering to those churches up there. And it's been a joy to be in camp work. Working with teenagers, we all have a burden that, again, they stay pure. In Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you stay clean in a wicked world? How do we encourage our kids and our teens to stay pure and clean in this wicked world? I wish we didn't have to raise kids in the world we do today. It's out of control. I do. I wish we could all live back in the days of Little House on the Prairie. Then all we'd have to deal with was like Nellie's attitude. We don't live in that world. It's a wicked world. But we got a wonderful God. He's very powerful. And by His grace, He will put within our heart the power and desire to please Him. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O, let me not wander from Thy commandments. My folks split up when I was young, and I lived a number of years with my grandparents. My granddad lived up in the northeastern Pennsylvania, out in rural country area. And one day I said, Granddad, I think I need to go to explore the woods. He said, I don't think that'd be wise. You'd probably get lost out there. It's only about 9. I said, no, Granddad, I know those woods like the back of my hand. I mean, I've taught Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone everything they know. I can do this. So I went out in the woods. I finally talked him into it, and I'm exploring the woods, and all of a sudden I saw a deer. I started chasing that deer. I'm not sure what I would have done if I caught that deer, but I'm chasing the deer through the woods, and all of a sudden, obviously, the deer is gone. And I looked around. I wasn't quite sure where I was, but being the woodsman I was, I knew I could find my way out, and I started hiking, and 1 hour turned into another, and then another, and it started getting dark. And I was only 9. I was getting scared, and I had no idea what was out there in the woods. There might have been lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, yeah, I did not know what was out there. I'd wandered off the path, and I promise you, it was a very scary thing. But there is something much, much more dangerous than that. And that's when we wander away from God. I have a simple question for all of us this morning. Have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? Do you remember the day you got saved? I mean, like you were overwhelmed with your wickedness and you knew that you were a sinner and those sins must be forgiven. And you cried out to God, and through Jesus Christ, where you put your trust in Christ alone, you trusted Him for forgiveness of sins, eternal life. You could not wait to tell your friends, could not wait to get to church and to sing and read your Bible and pray and memorize new verses. Everything was great. And then we, I don't know, get older or get busy or distracted. And we do. We wander away from God. You don't wake up one morning and think, well, I think I'm going to turn my back on my family and my God. No. It's a slow, gradual wandering. Sometimes it comes from wandering eyes. As we talked about earlier, there's a lot out there through television and internet to steal your heart away from your family and steal your heart away from God. Sometimes it's wandering thoughts, discontent. Believe maybe God has been unfair to me, or he hasn't really given me what I expected in life. Thoughts wandering even when you come to church. You can be sitting here on a Sunday morning. Pastor works hard to prepare a message for us and thinking about lunch and tomorrow and next week. Sometimes it's a wandering tongue. We're pretty cruel with our tongues, aren't we? It's so easy to get critical. Instead of on the way home thanking God for what he has done, we end up talking about who we think are maybe not handling life the way they should. Or maybe the pastor said something we really don't quite agree with. Or we do, we can get so critical. It's easy with the way we think and what we say to wander away from our Lord. It's easy to get distracted in life, and other than Sundays, you know, God's not a big part of our life. When we're young, I mean when you're real young, God is so real. Somebody sent me these letters that second grade kids wrote to God. Dear God, I didn't think orange went well with purple till I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday. That was cool. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not have killed each other if they had their own rooms. That's what my mom did for me and my brother. Dear God, I'll bet it's really hard to love everybody in the whole world. There are only four people in our family and I'm having a hard time loving all of them. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was that just an accident? Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in the church. Is that okay? Dear God, please send me a pony. I've never asked for anything before. You can look it up. Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. Dear God, of all the people who work for you, I like Noah and David the best. Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but I think you got confused because what I prayed for was a puppy. Do you remember when God was that real to you? I mean, so real. That when you prayed, you didn't talk about God. You talked to God. When you read the Bible, it was like he wrote it that morning for you to read it that afternoon. How do we keep from wandering? How do we keep our kids that when they come through your school and your youth group and then they go off, don't you want them to continue living for God and stay close to the Lord? Yeah. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? God tells us by taking heed thereto. According to thy word. The phrase take heed is a very interesting phrase. It literally means to encircle, to wrap yourself around with, to totally encircle yourself. I get asked a lot while I'm still in youth group or working with teens and camp work and all that. And I am 40-12. You can figure that out later. But I get asked why I wouldn't get a real job or whatever it might be. Well, there's two reasons. Number one, I love what I do. I really do. I love hanging out with teens. They're still real. They're making great choices in life. I love that. But there is another reason. I've been at the Wilds now for over 30 years. And when program men come, those are the guys that help with the preaching and the music and run the games and do the skits. They normally come for 4 or 5 years and then they move on to another type of ministry. And usually when they move on, we give them a going away party. We're nice. Okay. But the party is not always nice. I mean, they may get thrown down the water slide or into the lake or even worse. Remember, we had a guy named Dan. He was with us about 5 or 6 years. He was going on to seminary. So we took him out to a fancy restaurant, you know, and had a great meal. And then we were outside standing there in the parking lot of the Pizza Hut. And we're just in a circle there. And all of a sudden, as we circled around Dan, he said, guys, well, there were 7 of us and only 1 of him. We threw him down on the pavement. I just happened to have the duct tape with me. I duct taped his ankles together and his arms together. And then we took this, somebody brought this saran wrap, you know, this clingy stuff. And we made a mummy out of him from the bottom of his feet all the way to the top of his head. We allowed him to breathe. Then we took him, put him in a shopping cart, took him to Ingles, pushed him by the checkout counter and left him there for a half hour. We did. Finally, I felt bad. I said, hey, let's go get him. We'll go bowling. We'll plop him at the lane next to us. If he can get out of this mess, then he can bowl with us. Problem is, when we pulled into the bowling alley, the police surrounded us, and we did have some explaining to do, if you know what I mean. Dan was so wrapped up in that stuff. He couldn't think. He couldn't speak. He couldn't do anything. Folks, wouldn't it be so amazing? It's like we were so wrapped up with the very words of God that we couldn't think. We couldn't speak. We couldn't do anything aside from the Word of God. Take heed. Wrap yourself up with the very words of God. And before you send your children off to college, off to their careers, you make sure they're wrapped up with the Word of God. How do you do that? God tells us here. Look again, please, down at verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. You want to wrap yourself up with the very words of God? Well, number one, realize who said it. Say that with me. Realize who said it. You remember, kids, when you get in a fight with brother or sister, you normally go, well, Dad said. Mom said. Guess what, folks? God said it. God. With his words. He created this beautiful universe. God, all powerful, almighty, God wrote a book and he gave it to us. We can read it every day if we wish. God said it. And if you sit back and think, now who can I trust? Yeah, I can trust God. He's immutable, unchangeable. I can trust a God like that. Realize who said it. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God, not only realize who said it, but number two, repeat it. Say it with me. Repeat it. What do we talk about? Do you talk about your Lord with others? You say, but Rand, it's kind of scary. Not really. If you're confident and you know your God well, don't be afraid. Recently, I was up in Chicago preaching. I was in a coffee shop. I do a lot of studying, reading, and writing there. And a guy walks up to me and said, you're not from around here. Where are you from? I said, North Carolina. He said, what are you doing in town? I'm preaching at such and such Baptist church down the road. Oh, you're a Baptist? Are you going to call everybody down the aisle and put them under the water? I said, I might. I said, I got a better plan. I'm going to take him home with me to North Carolina. I work at a camp. We got a waterfall that's 125 feet high. I'm going to walk him underneath that thing. They'll get poured, sprinkled, and immersed all at the same time. I'll get him. He started to laugh and we could talk. Why is it we get so scared? Talk about your God. Talk about him to your friends. Amber and I were at a meeting in Maine and it was the middle of February. Cold. Whoa. Unbelievable. Even the birds up there wear earmuffs, you know. It is so cold. And we were there and I said to her, I said, well, I bet 4 or 5, 15, 20, whatever. It's not going to be a very big meeting. And about 20 people showed up. And then 20 more and 15 more and 10 more. And pretty soon there were 200 folks in that little country church. So after the service, I was talking to the pastor and his wife. And we said, well, where do all these people come from? The way they answered that question was amazing. His wife actually answered my question by asking her husband. She said, honey, was it the guy at the bank or the girl at the post office that got saved first? He said, no, I think it was the dental hygienist first. And then the couple at the bank. And then the post office. What am I saying? These people just love God and love people so much. They couldn't but help to share Christ with others. How many of you have been saved for, say, 10 or 15 years or more? Let me see your hands real high. Wow, look at that. Cool. How many of you have been saved for 5 years or less? Let me see your hands. Okay. A few. So what have we been doing the last 10 or 15 years? These guys can't do it all. They're going to work hard and try. But you got friends and you bump into people at Walmart and just tell them about your great God. Invite them to church. Repeat it. Talk about the Word of God. Look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God, so you stay clean and pure in this incredibly wicked world that we live in. You realize who said it. You repeat it. Number three, rejoice in it. Say it with me. Rejoice in it. How do you rejoice in the Word of God? He tells us as much as in all riches. I do work for the Wilds and travel a lot, but just to make a little money on the side, I am a representative for IBM Computer. And normally when I come to churches like this for promotional reasons, they give me four or five laptops. We'll have them in the back. And tonight after the service, we'll just do a drawing. Put your name in a hat, draw out those names, and four or five of you get to go home tonight with a brand new laptop. I'm also a representative for Ford Motor Company. We're going to have six brand new 2010 convertible Mustang convertibles brought in. They're going to be lined up there, tops down. Some of you in the drawing will be able to drive home your new Mustang with your new laptop next to you. When I'm talking about laptops, you're thinking, is he for real? When I mention the Mustangs, I think he's lying. Well, I'm actually lying about both of them, okay? But you know the feeling when you get that brand new computer, or maybe it's an iTouch, or maybe it is a car, a new home, or a new outfit? You know the little bit of excitement that comes from getting something new? That same excitement needs to come from the Word of God. It's better than any of the riches we can find. Do you ever remember finding a truth from God's Word that totally changed your life? Was that valuable to you? Again, I grew up in a very difficult home where I'd go to bed and put the pillow over my head so I didn't hear Mom scream and Dad beat her. I thought every kid in the world grew up that way. And when you grow up in a home like that, you just do. You wonder if anybody cares, and never heard my dad say, I love you. And you wondered if he did. And it carries over to your spiritual life. And you wonder, really, I'm being honest with you, if God even loves you. Pastor and I were talking about the Wilds, and all the way through college, I wouldn't even have thought about applying to work at the Wilds. I knew I wasn't spiritual enough, and I just wasn't really, really sure that I was good enough for God to really love me and use me in that way. And I worked hard, man. I read my Bible, and I prayed, and I tried to witness to people, and went on extensions, and just thought if I was really, really good, then maybe God would love me. And then I'm reading through Romans 8 and it says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. He doesn't love me more when I'm really, really good, or love me less when I'm really, really bad. He loves me. He chooses to love me. What a wonderful God. It changed my life. I have to work and strive to earn His love. His salvation is a free gift. You can't earn it. It's because He loves us. And those are the kinds of truths that will totally transform you. Look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. We spent a lot of time this weekend talking about meditation. To think, to concentrate, to contemplate, ponder, consider, mull over in your mind. I use the word reflect on it. Meditation is... it's actually kind of an agricultural concept of rumination. Cows. How many of you live in a farm? Anybody here? Okay. How many have ever been on a farm? How many ever say, well, McDonald had a farm? Okay. You know what a farm is? I'm going to make this real easy for everyone. The girl cows, those are the ones we get the milk from. You know, the white ones you get, white milk, the black ones, chocolate milk. You got all that. Okay. What they do is they get up early in the morning and they go out and eat the grain or the grass. And the way God made cows, if they eat, it's like 6:30 in the morning. They ruminate. They chew their cud. Okay. And so if at 10 o'clock, 10:30, they get hungry again. This is cool. Cows can just take that food they ate at 6, burp it back up into their mouth, chew it up again, swallow it, and put it in another stomach. If they get hungry about 2 o'clock, they just puke it back up in their mouth, chew it up again, swallow it again. Ladies, aren't you glad that God made cows like cows, not men like cows? You'd be sitting here in the service right now thinking, I wonder how long Ren's going to go. Guy's sitting here thinking, wow, I'm getting hungry. Oh, breakfast. Honey, not cheerio. Boom, bring it back up. No, we don't do that. But the reason a cow chews her cud is she wants to get every nutrient out of that. When you meditate, when you think over and over and over, speak to yourself, murmurs what the word really means, you don't let one little word get by. You take a verse like Isaiah 26:3. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's a great verse. You help me out. Thou. It's talking about God. Raise your hand if you can give me one character trait or one characteristic of God. Who'll be first? Just one. Yes. He is omniscient. He knows all things. Nothing gets by God. And even in a group this size, there may be one of us to find out this week that we have cancer. It's okay. God knows, and He will help you through it. Someone else, what's another characteristic of God? Merciful. He keeps from us that which we truly deserve. God's mercy. If we said, I want what I deserve, folks, we'd all be spending eternity in hell. What a wonderful God that He keeps from us that which we truly deserve. Somebody else, another characteristic of God. Long suffering, patient. That term literally means to be of long breath or to be of long nose. It's almost like a bull getting ready to charge with a breeze in and then a breeze out. And you think about it, even with your own family members. You get frustrated with mom and dad or brother or sister, your kids. All the time it takes you to get some patience is this. Watch me. And I wonder sometimes how many times God looks down and says, Rand, Rand. He is so patient with me. A couple more. Raise your hand real high. Yeah. Omnipotent, all-powerful. God, with a spoken word, created this universe. He has the power to carve out the Grand Canyon with one hand and literally measure the thickness of a butterfly's wing with the other. He is a very powerful God. A couple more. What else do you know about your God? All forgiving. Are you glad He's forgiving? I am. 1 John 1:9, do we not know it well? We say it so fast we don't even know the words anymore. How much of our sin does He promise to forgive? All of it. Again, as we talked about this weekend, don't raise your hand, but have you ever prayed and asked God to forgive you like 1,000 times for something? You don't need to, because He's a forgiving God. You ask Him one time, and then 999 times you thank Him for forgiving you. One or two more. God. He's merciful, He's loving, He's omnipotent, He's forgiving. Raise your hand. Anybody else? Another characteristic. Okay? Trustworthy. You know, when you have an all-powerful, unchanging God, you can trust Him. You can trust Him with your future, can't you, gang? You can trust Him to protect you. You can trust and have faith. You don't have to worry when you can trust a God like this. One more. Did I see one more hand? Yes. Creative. God's a creative God. And sometimes I look at His creation and I meet teens that are unique, very unique. They're unique expressions of God's magnificent creation. You know what I mean? And He's a creative God. And just look at the beauty. And you look at the mountains and you just have to stop and think, wow, what a wonderful God we have. Thou, all-powerful, merciful, loving, forgiving, will. There's a promise, keep. It means guard Him, little old me, in perfect peace, knowing I'm right with God and right with man. What is the condition? Whose mind? That's me. Is committed, stayed on Him. You know what we just did for 3 minutes? We meditated on God. And you can take your family to Starbucks and sit down and do that. And you can go out and just sit down and say, let's take Philippians 2. And talk about it. This weekend, with your men, we just took 10 minutes, broke up in groups of three, and gave them a short passage. They're begging for more time. And it almost gets to where, if you wake up in the morning, you're going to get up at 6, your alarm says 5:35, you think, wow, I got 25 more minutes to spend with God today. Reflect on it. Look at verse 15. The end of the verse says, and have respect unto thy ways. Respect is living with the words, yes, sir, on the tip of your tongue. God says, I want you to be holy. And you say, yes, sir. God says, I want you to be loving and kind. And you say, yes, sir. God says, I want you to share what I've done with you, with anyone and everyone you can. Yes, sir. Live with the words, yes, sir, on the tip of your tongue. Obey the word of God. Look at verse 16. I would delight myself in thy statutes. To delight is to take pleasure in, to enjoy, appreciate, find satisfaction. I use the word to relish it. Learn to enjoy the word of God. acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. Let me say it again. We'll say it together. Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. Say it with me. Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. That same trip while we were in Maine, the folks we were staying with said, have you ever had Maine lobster? And I said, no, not altogether. Maybe all gushed up in a salad or something. They said, we're going to have it this week. And they brought them home. I couldn't believe these things were huge. I took a pencil, stuck it in the claw and tried to swing it around, you know. And then, stupid me, I asked the lady, well, how do you cook a lobster? I had no idea. She said, well, we take this big pot, and we get the water boiling and we put them inside. I said, you boil them to death? Now, my wife is very kind and loves animals greatly. And so she conveniently walked out of the kitchen at that point, went into the living room. And I'm standing in the doorway. Here's the living room. Here's the kitchen. I asked one of those stupid questions. I said, well, do they make noises when they die? And the lady just looked at me like I was dumb. But Amber didn't see that. So I'm standing here. I said, here they go, hon. She's lifting the lid. She's putting it in the water. They gave us these little tiny forks. We dipped it in that white meat and dipped it in that low-fat, low-cholesterol, low-sodium butter. And wow, when I took a bite out of the stuff, it was incredible. I could not wait to get to another bite. My Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And you start digging into His Word and meditate on it and reflect on it and think about it and rejoice in it. You won't be able to even wait till the next morning to get back up and spend more time with Him. Look at verse 16, the end of the verse. I will not forget thy word. In the midst of temptation, remember the word of God. In the midst of trials, remember the word of God. In the midst of good times, remember the word of God and be thankful. Remember it. You know why we sin? Because we forget the Word of God. We're tempted. We sin. Then we come to church. We remember the Word of God. And then we ask God for forgiveness. Temptation, sin. Remember the Word of God. Ask God forgiveness. It's kind of a sad way to live your life, isn't it? Wouldn't it be better for temptation? Remember the Word of God. Obey it. Thank God for the victory. Temptation, remember the word. Obey it. Thank God for the victory. What a wonderful way to spend your life. Remember the word of God. I was only 9. And I was scared. It was getting dark. And I came to the edge of the woods. There was a field there with a farmer leaning against his truck looking my way. Almost like he was like expecting me. He was. You see, my granddad knew the woods a lot better than I did. And he knew if I got lost where I'd probably come out. And he called his friend and said, would you go up to your field and if he comes out there, just send him home. And folks, if you've been wandering away from God, He knows exactly where you are. And He wants you to come home. Have you ever been closer to God than you are right now?